Einsteigen, aufdrehen, losfahren. Mit dem neuen Volkswagen T-Roc bist du bereit für den großen Auftritt. Selbstbewusst und voller Power. Du steigst ein? Keine Kompromisse. Nur du und der Moment. Alles passt. Dein Sound, dein Drive, dein T-Roc. Rockt. Der neue T-Roc.
Welcome to the State of the Race. It is Monday, November 4th, 2024. Election Day is tomorrow. Yes. Oh my God, we're here. This is actually happening, isn't it? All right, coming up on today's episode, we're just going to boil it down. We're doing a question and answer extravaganza. Whatever your questions are, please get them to us. If you want extra other than the ones we have here today, go to YouTube, youtube.com/StudosAmerica. Follow the page. Click the bell for notifications. When we go live, we're going to be doing questions and answer periods whenever we can here as we get closer to the election. I also will remind you, we'll be back on youtube.com/StudosAmerica after the election coverage on Blaze TV ends. So we'll go early into the morning as long as I've got a voice. I'm probably going to be sleeping at the studios. Oh God, I just realized that. I got to sleep at the studios again. This is going to be terrible. Okay. And then, sorry, that was an aside. BlazeElection.com/Stu is the place to go to subscribe to Blaze TV. We really encourage you to be part of it, be part of this movement. We're trying to do our best to give you some sort of reliable media coverage, and we can't do it without you. BlazeElection.com/Stu. You'll save $40 off your subscription if you do it that way. Okay. What's to come up in this episode? Well, we got that question and answer extravaganza coming up here in just a second. Our key metrics today, the pulse cast, again, this is about 53% for Donald Trump. Not too much movement in the final hours, but 53% chance for Donald Trump to win. What does that mean exactly? It means it's a toss-up race. I'd like to tell you that Donald Trump is, yeah, you should really be confident in this. It's 53%. It's basically a toss-up. It's basically a coin flip. To give you another sense of this, if you happen to be, you know, somewhat connected to like the NFL, and maybe you place a wager occasionally, Donald Trump is about a minus 195 favorite in the election right now. Let me just check that again, see what the, just to get a general sense. You know, it's funny because a lot of these betting sites will post the big game that's coming up and, you know, be like Monday Night Football is coming up. That's the top of their betting page because they know most people want to bet that. Right now, the top of the betting page is Donald Trump versus Kamala Harris. Who will win that? Who will win the popular vote? To give you a sense, Donald Trump is a minus now 165 favorite. Minus 165. So that's down a little bit from a couple days ago. He was minus 195. Kamala Harris is the favorite to win the popular vote at minus 300. What does that mean? Well, let me give you the just to win the actual election. Minus 165 means you'd have to bet $165 to win 100, meaning you're not getting a little bit worse than average odds. He's the favorite is basically what that says. And what's interesting about that, to just give you a sense of how close that a game like that is, looking at the odds for the NFL games from this week, you have a situation, for example, the Detroit Lions are playing the Green Bay Packers. Lions are a team that are, you know, thought to be a Super Bowl contender this year. Green Bay, kind of on the fringes of a Super Bowl contender, both good teams. Detroit is a minus 155 favorite in that game. So basically the same, very similar to Donald Trump's odds to win this election. That translates to a 3-point favorite. So think of an NFL game you watch, and you're like, oh, that team's favored by three. Very likely they could win that game, but also almost as likely they could lose it. So that is what the data is telling us. That doesn't mean that data is accurate, but it does mean that is what the data tells us. I'm confident in that. You know, a lot of times people will say, well, they're manipulating their polls. They're keeping polls out of the averages. They're focusing on the wrong things. I will tell you this. The PulseCast has more data in it than any other measure you're ever going to look at. There is so much in there that honestly, it's jam-packed with data. It's got more, it takes more into account than anything else. And while the data may or may not be right, pollsters may or may not be right, election modelers may or may not be right, prediction markets may or may not be right, this is what they're saying. What they're saying is a very slight edge for Donald Trump. We will see if that plays out tomorrow. Okay, let's get to your questions here on today's focus. CJ asks, do you think we will get back to one voting day and having all votes counted by the end of voting day? This one I think I could answer, surely. Not in our lifetime. No, CJ. In fact, it's going the opposite way. I think honestly, we have an election season, not an election day at this point, and it is only going to get worse if you don't like early voting. Early voting works for a lot of reasons for campaigns and candidates. You know, while Republicans generally don't think it's reliable as election day voting, candidates and campaigns love it because they lock you in. Here's a little hack for you, and that you can do this next time if you wish. If you are as annoyed as I am at getting nonstop text messages from politicians, here's the hack to do it. It's not unsubscribe. That doesn't help you at all, because they might still spam you. And honestly, your name will just get sold to another group that will spam you after that. So the unsubscribe thing might help if you happen to have one of these groups that's playing by the rules. But at the end of the day, when you unsubscribe, they know you're active. They know you're an actual number. And sometimes it makes it worse. Here's the way to get off the text lists. You're going to have your texts reduced by probably 85 or 90% if you do this. Vote early. You might not like voting early, but if you vote early, any campaign worth its salt will realize you voted early. They will see your name checked off, and they will stop wasting resources texting you all the time. This is why campaigns love it, because they only have a limited amount of resources. They don't want to spend the time walking around knocking on your door if you've already voted. Once you vote early, they'll generally leave you alone. Now, sometimes you get left on a list, or you know, some weaker campaigns or organizations who don't really follow the stuff closely enough might still text you. But that's generally speaking the best way to get off those lists. And if you are worried about early voting, you know, I think Republicans have... sometimes things are just better for people. And you can fight it. You can try to change the laws in between the elections. But when you get to election time, you need to embrace them. And it's just easier to go vote early. You have shorter lines. Mail-in voting is easier. Secure it the best that you can, but people enjoy it, they like it, and I don't think it's going anywhere, CJ. And unfortunately, that's kind of the case. Bob asks, I've been disconnected from the mainstream media. What's the best place to get reliable polling information? That's sort of a loaded question there, Bob. You know, it's hard to know what's reliable. You can look at the pollsters with the best reputations. Yes, sometimes there's a news organization that's biased, and you know, like for example, Fox News polls are constantly being accused on the left of bias. However, what we've seen with Fox News polls is actually they kind of favor Democrats a little bit, but they are a pretty good pollster. They have a pretty good record, generally speaking. You can't really tell by the name on the organization when it comes to polls. It doesn't necessarily work. It's a little bit different. When it comes to the best polling information, what we found over time is to take as much information as you can and kind of smooth out the differences between the pollsters and the decisions they make. Every pollster makes decisions on who to include in polls. Every polling average decides which polls to include and how long to keep them within the average. All these are decisions made by people, and the more data you can get and put into a measure, the more you can smooth those decisions out. The same thing goes with election models, which there's all sorts of assumptions made by individual modelers. What I would say is the PulseCast is probably the most reliable picture of what the actual opinion of these polls is. That doesn't mean the polls are right, though, right? The polls can still be completely wrong. I will not be surprised at all if we find out that, you know, Kamala Harris wins by a decent amount or Donald Trump wins by a decent amount. And it's maybe doesn't feel all that close on election day. I don't know. But what I will say is that if you want to know the actual opinion of all of these pollsters and all of these modelers and the prediction markets all smash into one, the PulseCast is the best way to go to get that. You can see that at glenbeck.com/PulseCast, by the way. All right. American Introvert writes, I'm hearing a lot of problems of the voting machines going on in different states. Lots of problems with them. How much of that is actually true? Well, of course, we don't know how much of that is true. I think most of the time, when you hear questions about voting machines, they're not either true, because a lot of stuff is just fake on the internet, or they are not particularly widespread. And the reason you're hearing about them is because they've been caught. That is true, but not necessarily without a real warning alarm, right? Like, that's still a huge problem, even if it's something that's a minor situation and that is not widespread. That doesn't mean it's okay. We're talking about elections that might be decided by a few thousand votes. And usually these problems don't rise to that level. Now, of course, there's always a first time, so you have to be diligent. I will say this, Republicans have spent 4 years since 2020 building a network with Trump and many organizations aligned with Trump to try to find ways to get people watching the polls, all the lawyers, election lawyers, lined up to sue when they need to sue and step in when they need to step in. A couple of things here when it comes to election fraud and allegations of it. Number one, it is part of your campaign's job to make sure this doesn't happen. Okay? And when it does happen, of course, if fraud does occur, the number one person to blame is the person committing the fraud. Of course, they're guilty. They deserve the punishment. They are the ones responsible. But part of a campaign's job is to build an infrastructure that can cite, that could see this, that can issue the citations when needed, to work with authorities to issue those citations, and to push back legally when it is found. That is part of a campaign's job. It's not all knocking on doors and making speeches. This is what you have to do. And if you fail at that, you have failed as a campaign. This is something I think you can pretty clearly look back at 2020 and at many of the Republicans' campaigns. They were not prepared for what they believed would happen there. And whether you think all that was accurate or true or what part of it was true, it doesn't really matter. The bottom line was, I'll give you a great example. They were changing laws because of COVID before the election. They were put in place before the election. And Donald Trump's campaign was suing after the election was over on these laws. That's a mistake by the campaign. I think it's a mistake they've corrected. They certainly have worked hard to correct that mistake. But that's on them. It's also on the Democrats. If this stuff happens to you at some level, you have to police this. That is the way this election is structured. And you don't have a huge window of time. You've got till mid-December, and that is it. So we will see if that actually happens. The second part of this is I tend to look at election fraud as complaining about the refs. I'm using a lot of sports references today. Sorry, Glenn, if you happen to be listening to this podcast. It might be true that you got a bad call. It might be true that the refs screwed you over. It might be true that there was bias by the refs and you got a lot of bad calls. At the end of the day, though, it is still your job to win. I remember that one playoff game where it was the Saints? It was the Saints, I'm pretty sure. And they were very close to the Super Bowl or the championship game. Do you remember this game? I'm talking about BJ's in the other room. And they had that horrible pass interference penalty that somehow the refs missed. Inexplicably, they missed. I mean, it was one of the worst calls of all time. They missed the pass interference. They didn't wind up going to the Super Bowl. That is, the refs were at fault there. And you can complain about the refs. And that was very, very true. But at the end of the day, if I'm a coach of that team, what I'm telling my team is, get ahead by more than the refs can screw you. And that is what you need to do. If you're worried about election fraud, don't let it depress your vote. Make it do the opposite. Make it so you have to go out and communicate with more people, that you have to go out there and fight even harder to get more people to the polls. Work your ass off today, tomorrow, keep going until the polls absolutely close, because that you have to build in your head a margin for the error of fraud, the error of whatever you think might happen. It's all possible. So do what you can. And again, that's a terrible answer for people. It was a terrible answer for the Saints. But, you know, you're up by 3 touchdowns. It doesn't matter. And that's what you got to try to do. Okay, next up, Lockley writes, I can't believe it's this close. It just boggles my mind. And the betting market swing is just nuts. We've seen a lot of swings in the betting markets, whether it's Kalshi, which is the only legal betting market here in the United States. When it comes to betting on elections, you've also got Polymarket, you've got Predictit, which is having its own legal situation. But all those markets are out there, and we have seen swings. We saw a massive swing towards Trump. It came back to earth a few days ago. It has been kind of a mess. Now, remember, these markets can be manipulated by things other than, some undercover thing that people have unearthed. When it comes to election data, a lot of it has to do, it might be people taking profits, right? Like maybe someone invested in Donald Trump at 50 cents or 50% chance to win. Then it got up to 62 and they were like, I'm going to take some profit. They took some of their money off the table and now it's dropped back down to 56 or whatever the number is. Prediction markets do a really good job at summarizing what people believe will occur. They don't necessarily they aren't necessarily a prediction as to what will occur. They just are a prediction. They are a good summary of what people believe. And so a lot of times crowdsourced information can be a really good predictor of future events. But that's all it is. It's people, what they think is going to happen. And so we've seen a lot of markets move. A lot of this is being blamed on, you know, there's one French like billionaire who dumped, you know, $30 million into Trump at one point. Oh, he's the only reason that it's moving up. A lot of that's nonsense. I mean, Polymarket has had over $2 billion spent on these markets so far. $2 billion. You know, Kalshi just got legal approval like a month or two ago and has already had $100 million bet on these markets. Like, it's hard to move these markets. It is. It's not easy. These are pretty good measures as to what public opinion is right now. People generally believe for the last month or so that Donald Trump is winning, at least by some margin. But the movement, I wouldn't get nervous by that movement. It's just a feeling as to what people think is going to happen. I don't think it's actually changing the situation on the ground at all. But it is something to look at and something we love to look at. I mean, I love this stuff. Kalshi is awesome. If you haven't been on Kalshi yet, I'd recommend it. I think it's kalshi.com/stew. If you go there, you can bet on the election all the way up until tomorrow and beyond on other events. It's a lot of fun. You know, you throw a few bucks down, bet your liberal friend who's going to win. Like, it's, you know, there's a lot of interesting things you can do on it. This is not a paid commercial, even though they are a sponsor of Stu Does America, but I just really like it. So check that out if you wish. Finally, John asked the last question of the day, which is, when is the next spaceship heading out of the solar system? You know, I think we got to ask Elon Musk. I think he's going to build one to take us out off the planet, maybe to Mars, maybe beyond the solar system completely if Donald Trump loses, because he's screwed, man. I mean, imagine being an electric car guy that's associated with Donald Trump. Liberals aren't going to want to buy your cars, and probably they're going to put you in prison if Kamala Harris wins. So he's going to need a spaceship outside of the solar system. Okay. Check out the YouTube page, youtube.com/StuDoesAmerica. We're doing a Q&A probably as close to daily as we can. Click the bell for notifications and you'll know when we go live. And also, in addition to that, blazeelection.com/Stu. We'll be there doing coverage from, I think it's 6 p.m. Eastern all the way to like midnight or 1 a.m. And then after that, we'll be back on YouTube, youtube.com/StuDoesAmerica. If you subscribe to Blaze TV now, you can save $40 off your subscription. All right, we're almost there. Tomorrow's the day. We'll have the radio show and Stu Does America. We'll have our final prediction show. We're going to go on the chalkboard. We're going to put every single state, every single electoral vote in Trump's column or Harris's column. We're going to put every single Senate seat in the Republican or Democratic column. Maybe we'll do a House prediction, too. I'm not sure about that. I really don't know the number on that. It's going to be a very close call, probably, in the House as well. But check it out tonight on Stu Does America, available on Blaze TV and youtube.com/StuDoesAmerica.